25 years earlier, part 4. To Orla's deep gratitude, they had entered an area of the caves without any serpents. Master Larrett led the way, glow rod in hand. Orla and Komak followed several steps after. At first, Orla had believed her master insisted on keeping some distance between them in case any serpents attacked from behind. Now that she had been able to better center herself, though, Orla knew as well as Master Larrett did that no predators lurked nearby. Instead, the two apprentices were being given space so they could talk freely.
"I'm sorry about Master Simix," Orla said.
Komak nodded. His gaze remained unfocused.
"We're not supposed to mourn," he said. "He's one with the Force."
She answered exactly as she was supposed to.
"But we can regret his loss."
Komak cut her off with a gesture.
"It's ridiculous."
He readjusted his robes, restless, ill at ease.
"They command that master and apprentice spend years together, working as a partnership, as close as any family could possibly be. And then they expect us not to become attached. I never thought about it before. I never had to. But now I can't escape how unfair it is. Worse than unfair, it's wrong."
His words struck an unfamiliar chord within Orla. Master Larrett wasn't necessarily completely orthodox in her methods, but never had she or anyone else come out and said that the Jedi might be completely wrong about something, about anything. If only someone had spoken up before, Orla might not have felt so completely alone. For years, she'd been aware that she was most deeply connected with the Force at times and in ways that went contrary to Master Larrett's teachings. Orla wanted to follow her master's teachings. Larrett Soverall was the perfect model of a Jedi, in Orla's opinion, but her own experience of the Force was not the same.
"It will be," she told herself stubbornly. "You'll be more like Master Larrett if you just keep trying. Komak's hurting because he lost his own master, but there's no reason to let his pain drag you away from Jedi teachings. Trust your master. Trust the Order. Trust that someday it will all be clear to you. As clear as rainwater."
When Orla fell silent, Komak at first wondered if she condemned him. But no, sympathy still radiated from her. Probably she was only trying to guide him along the proper path. As Master Simix had once said,
"You can disagree with the Council, but it matters how you disagree."
Broadcasting the anger he felt was foolish. It solved nothing and reflected poorly on his master's training. If Komak could not grieve, he at least intended to stand as an example of Master Simix's faithful duty to the Jedi. Besides, anger was distracting, and this was not a time to get distracted. Master Larrett stopped walking and held up one hand, cautioning them. "More serpents?" Komak tensed and listened for the telltale rustle of scales on stone. Nothing. Master Larrett was staring upward.
In a low voice, she said,
"I believe we are beneath the kidnapper's lair."
"Beneath?"
Orla kept her voice down too, despite her obvious puzzlement.
"But these caves aren't that deep. We've traveled beneath a larger rock formation. There's more room above us than before, which means more caves."
Master Larrett turned back to the Padawans, her expression grave.
"Without any schematics, we can't be certain, but I believe we'll find a connection between this cave and theirs. At least some passageway. The air currents suggest it."
Komak realized there was a slight breeze.
"So we're going in?"
"We're getting closer,"
Master Larrett corrected him.
"We don't go in until we know where the hostages are, whether they are alive, and how to keep them safe. Our job here isn't to fight the kidnappers, it's to save the hostages."
It was good before a skirmish to remember that any armed action was only a means to an end. Komak nodded, determined to serve well in Simix's honor.
You know,
Thandega muttered,
we might not even be in this position if Arano had been willing to negotiate with Irem.
Castle had slightly long front teeth, round eyes, and a flatly upturned nose that made him resemble a bright blue Vorpak.
I thought it was Irem that wouldn't negotiate with Arano.
Their two planets had been at odds for so long that no cooperation was seen as possible, and so none was sought. How long had it been since anyone had even tried? Sometimes it felt as though Irem defined itself not by its own merits, but simply as those who stood against Arano. She was beginning to suspect Arano had done the same thing in reverse. Did anyone even truly recall the reasons for all this hate? Were those reasons still valid in the present day?
I'll ask Dima,
Thandega thought before remembering that she would almost certainly never see her wife again.
Besides, why wouldn't we be in this position?
Castle said.
These criminals, they weren't a part of any trade talks between Irem and Arano, I'm sure.
No, but if we'd made trade deals with the Republic before, the scum of the galaxy wouldn't be trying to edge their way in now. And the main reason we've never imagined dealing with the Republic is because we've never even learned to deal with each other.
For so long, they'd been proud of their independence. But at what point did pride become mere stubbornness? At what point did independence become willful ignorance? Wherever that point was, Thandega suspected both their planets had passed it a long time before. Castle's face fell, but he tried to smile for her. He seemed to be a kind man.
At least our kidnappers aren't having any fun either. To judge by the big furry fellow's scowl, he's having nearly as bad a day as we are.
Thandega simply smiled back. It was kinder than mentioning that the angrier their captors became, the more likely they were to wind up dead.